The Jen, Gabe, and Chewy podcast is sponsored by Celsius Energy Drink, and I am here to tell you it makes a huge difference in my mornings. With a unique blend of essential energy and key vitamins, Celsius is your partner to an active lifestyle. My favorite, the peach vibe. Learn more at Celsius.com and pick up Celsius Energy Drinks today.
How aggressive do we want the Milwaukee Brewers to be? Trade deadline's coming up at the end of the month. And they're in the thick of it. Things didn't go well last night, but it's baseball. They'll have a chance to bounce back today against the Pirates. But presumably the Brewers are going to be buyers at the trade deadline. And I'm not saying there's specifically a name they should go out and get. I think that's tough to, outside of Garrett Crochet, who's had a tremendous year for the Chicago White Sox. I don't know who necessarily else is going to be available. But do you feel, Chewy, that this is the time to be aggressive for the Milwaukee Brewers?
I do. Although I'm a little worried about St. Louis. It's down to four. And the thing, and I know St. Louis, they don't have a very powerful roster, but I do remember, what was it, 2 or 3 years ago where they went on that unbelievable stretch of like 18 games in a row?
Sure.
I mean,
four is still plenty. Like, I'm expecting the Brewers lost, they, you know, Cardinals won, whatever.
I would go all in. This is the best feeling I've had at this point in the season in a while.
Here's the fun part, though, Chew. Like, I think you can be super aggressive, and it's not necessarily all in. Yes, maybe you're getting somebody who is a rental for just this year.
Yeah.
But their core is so young that so much of it's going to be sticking around anyway.
Yeah, they're solid. They're set up. And it still blows my mind that Burns is gone and Woodruff is hurt. Mm-hmm. The fact that they are as good as they are. And I was thinking about it last night, and I know, speaking for myself, I just want to ask the people, do we owe Mark Antanasio an apology? Because when Craig Counsell left, myself included, we were very critical that you don't spend enough money.
Yes.
Bah, bah, bah.
Yep.
We didn't look to what was going on behind the scenes. So I apologize. I apologize because I was wrong. I didn't have faith. And now I have faith. But I think a lot of people should be where I'm at and apologize to the guy. I don't think this...
Over my dead body.
Gabe, let me ask you this, so. Let me ask you this.
Okay. Yeah.
I love Joshy. Is this a fluke?
I think we know where
he's this a fluke? Is this season a fluke?
Because
Vegas had them at 76 wins. Is this a fluke, or did we grossly undersell this team?
So it's a little like what the Packers were last year. It's a young team, and what I would say is a little fluky for the Brewers is the number of starting pitchers that they've had and the number of guys that have been successful. Like the other day when Dallas Keuchel walks five in 4 1/3 and doesn't give up a run, like, that's a little fluky, right? I think some of the pitching stuff that has gone on for them is a little fluky. What's not fluky is this offense. I do not think the offense is fluky. And the offense is what's been exciting about this team, because we've seen, and Jackson Churio, by the way, it took him a couple of months to figure out big league pitching, and I'm sure there's going to be another adjustment period here because the pitchers are going to make the adjustments he's made, whatever. But he's been really good over the last 3-4 weeks. Bryce Terang made a huge leap this season. And when you couple that with Christian Yelich regaining outside of the home runs, but in terms of everything else, the doubles, he's still a legitimate number three hitter, a legitimate, like, playing like an MVP. William Contreras continuing to be one of the best catchers in baseball. When you have guys like that, Willy Adames hitting as many home runs as he has in that four spot, this offense is not fluky.
Because fluky is 30 games in. Fluky is 37 games, not 93 games. Then.
Yeah.
You are what you are, I think, at 93 games.
Yeah.
And what you are is a pretty damn good baseball team.
And the pitching presumably is going to get better. It's going to get healthier. Devin Williams is working his way back. That's going to make the bullpen deeper, which already has been a strength for the Brewers. And really, it's the starting pitching. And I think that's what you're looking at in terms of solidifying. I want to know if anybody wants... Chewy landed on something. I want to know if anybody else wants to or feels like they should apologize to Mark Athanasio. 800-990-3776. Chewy has already apologized because a lot of people, this show included, myself included, critical of him after Craig Counsell left, pursuing a more money deal with the Chicago Cubs. And the Brewers are where they are, and Chewy felt like he needed to apologize to Mark.
But, Joshy, let me ask you this. Is your reaction based upon Counsell leaving, and do you care anymore that he's gone? I don't care. I didn't realize how good of a coach we'd have here now.
Yeah, and I mean, as a manager, Pat Murphy's been great. I also don't think we can underestimate the staff in and around him that largely stayed the same post-Craig Counsell. Like, I mean, the Brewers get guys into their pitching lab and they just somehow discover something with each and every one of those kind of guys they bring in there.
Hold on to Chris Hook.
Yes.
Forever. As long as you can. Do not let go.
And the reason I'm not willing to apologize is I still think that Mark Athanasio has taken shortcuts or cheaped out places that the team could be even better if he had so chosen to be. I don't think we can underrate the fact that Josh Hader killed the season, that they argued over $200,000 with Corbin Burns, that when it comes time to pay these guys, that they're just unwilling to do it. We listened to the Jeff Passan audio where he said, you can pay these guys. It's just a matter of fact if you want to or not. You can't pay all of them, and sometimes they hamstring you. The Brewers are good at building talent, young talent, and their pitching staffs have, until recently, been great. But to think that, like, somehow I should credit Mark with all this. He gets credit for hiring good people in the front office. I'll give him credit.
But that's all an owner should do. That's the only thing an owner that's what I want my owner to do. Hire good people and let them do their thing.
But look at the San Diego Padres, who spent a ton of money.
Mm-hmm.
A ton of money. And they're 49 and 46.
Yeah. I don't want the Brewers to be a top spender. I don't think that, unless you're the Dodgers, that really don't work. And guess what? Dodger money ain't coming to Milwaukee.
Well, but also, has it really worked for the Dodgers?
It's worked all right. Not as good as they'd want.
You know what? I'm going to say this. Organizationally, they're right behind the Packers over the last 10 years. They're right behind the Packers.
Are you sure they're behind?
Well, we would like to not think they're behind. But when you factor in everything, Gabe, and how successful they've been, I don't know, maybe it's longer than 10 years, but they're a playoff team for the most part every year.
Sure.
They fight. There is no cap in baseball. They fight the money thing. They run a hell of an organization over there.
I mean, I think you're leaving out the team that's probably on top of the list.
Who?
I mean, the one that actually has won a championship in the last 10 years?
No.
They're three. Not willing to do it.
No.
And it's because they're willing. They're the team that's willing to spend money. They're the team that's been uber aggressive.
How much of that is just because that's the one?
All right, let me ask you this, Josh. Josh, I'll entertain that. Are they number one?
The Bucks?
No.
Oh, the Brewers?
Yes. I mean, the Packers haven't won one in...
So what is the question? Who's the best...
run organization. When you factor everything in,
okay,
your limits when it comes to spending money, their success, put them up against the power three in the state. And the only reason I don't say the Bucks is because I would have thought,
because you want to stick it to Craig. We get
Craig who?
I don't know.
Parmesan? Oh yeah, I was thinking Counsell. I'm like, he's sticking it to himself. But I mean, yeah, the Bucks have won a championship, but I'll stand by this. They've been the most disappointing team in the... I don't care about injuries. I don't care about anything. I'm just saying the expectations have not met what they have done.
I think given the circumstances of the reality of the economics of baseball and given the restrictions put on the Brewers by their own owner on top of market constrictions, I think that the Brewers should be considered as up there. Now, the success hasn't gone as far as you'd want, and you can blame it on whatever you want. I'd blame it on not making the necessary moves when you have teams, you know, running out whatever Rowdy Tellez at first base and thinking, yeah, this will do us for a season.
This will be great.
We have three aces out there, and we can't hit the ball, as we saw for two consecutive postseasons. I think given all those factors, and how much do you downgrade it for Mark Adonisio factoring into the lack of spending, but given everything we know, they've done pretty damn well, and you can't argue it.
Over the last 10 years, who's the best-run organization? 800-990-3776. Is it the Brewers? Is it the Bucks? Is it the Packers? We'll take your calls. We'll take your texts. Coming up next on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
I have told you how many times.
Know.
Do not mess with electricity, Chew.
And I don't. I did. I did. But
there was
I don't.
An incident?
There was one.
Plumbing, you're going to get wet. Electricity, you're going to die.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Run organization professionally last 3 years. Is it the Packers? Is it the Brewers? Is it the Bucks? This started because Chewy felt like he had to apologize to Mark Adonisio and then had the epiphany of maybe they're the best run organization over the last 10 years. 800-990-3776. David just says the Packers are the best run organization.
I don't think you can say that because they haven't won a championship since 10. Which is 14 years now. Mm-hmm. I know the Brewers, but you still have to factor in everything we talked about. I mean,
there was a lot of drama with the Packers. And
they were
Aaron
kind
Rodgers.
Of peeing upstream in the end of Aaron Rodgers' tenure here in Green Bay. That you'd have to say, a debacle might be too strong.
No, but I mean, Aaron Rodgers, I mean, you fired Mike McCarthy. I would say, not letting him finish out the season was a mistake. I think Mark Murphy would admit as much. Then because of that, then Murphy decided he needed to be more involved. He created the silos. Aaron Rodgers was allowed to run the show for a very long time. They haven't won a championship. They've been disappointing in the postseason.
Yeah. You're like, talking me into putting them three.
Interestingly enough, though, when it comes to the whole Aaron Rodgers saga, you can take away both bad and good.
Oh, yeah.
The how it got to where it was, very bad, poorly run. Coming out of it after what we saw last season, incredibly good.
Yes.
Teams would give anything for that type of rebuild that took place in a matter of, what, 8 games?
Yeah.
Like, there it is. That
Nine
is
games, yeah, whatever.
As bad as we have for either two teams, either three teams, probably.
Because
yeah, look, maybe getting across only a few runs in one of the
Because
playoffs.
The Bucs being exited from the playoffs in the first round of last two is horrible. But they did win a championship 3 years ago.
Yep. Yeah.
The Packers losing is probably the equivalent in the NFC Championship game and in the first...
In the 49ers game, yeah.
49ers game when they were the number one power-ranked team in the NFL,
and
pretty close
score,
to it.
You score 10 points.
So I would rank
game.
Them, I'd say Brewers, Bucks, Packers.
Yeah, I think the Packers are three. Because the Bucks, as disappointing as the last three seasons have been, like, for some reason... It seems like sports fans want to be championships are the only thing that matter. Now suddenly we want to discount the Bucks championship?
Like, yeah, you're right. You're
the
right,
Bucks
you're
have
right.
been, and they've put themselves into a little bit of a bind right now because they can only do so many things to add to the roster. But they were this is the back end of going all in, of going out and getting star players, having to pay them. They've got a championship to their name. Yes, we want more. But also, it took them 50 years to win this bleeping championship.
Yeah, I can't rank anyone above the Bucks. I do think it would be a lot easier had they made one conference championship since then. I think it's it's hard with the level of disappointment with the Bucks. It makes it easy to forget just quite how good the championship was, which is crazy. But the recent memories of falling so short, remarkably short, really sticks with a lot of people.
But if our criticism of Adonisio has been he doesn't spend money, guess what the Bucks ownership does?
Spend it all.
Yeah.
they spend as much money as they possibly can, right? They're aggressive. Like, we want the Brewers or Packers to be aggressive in acquiring players. Now, the one thing that you would, the one criticism in terms of an organization, the Bucks have not been very good at drafting and developing. haven't had to be yet.
No.
But that would be my main criticism if we're talking about organizational structure. Obviously, the Packers have been good at it. We see all the young players for the Brewers. They've been pretty good at it. But they've also won a championship in the last
But the years. Adrian Griffin thing is a huge stain.
Oh, yeah, it was a mistake.
That's a huge, sure. huge mistake.
Yeah, absolutely.
How big would
what
it
about
be?
What about Joe Barry Carroll?
A huge
let him stick
held
around
on
for 3 years.
Him way too long.
Like that counts.
Well, hiring him was a mistake.
Yeah, and then you let him stick around
yeah.
for 3 years.
Yes, I agree. How big would it be if the Brewers won it all, though? Would it be bigger than the Bucks?
I think so.
I think so, too.
I think so. As much as I love the NBA and I love the Bucks, the Brewers feel, especially statewide, like I feel that they're not right behind the Packers because the Packers lap everybody in terms of how passionate they are. But I feel the Brewers are, yeah. Like, if you're walking around town in any month,
what
you're
would
see
be
more
bigger?
Brewers
what would be bigger? What would be bigger? Wisconsin football winning a national championship or the Brewers winning it all?
Brewers winning it all.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
The Badgers winning it all would be more unexpected and probably like
yes.
a longer shot.
It is, because it is.
But... This state loves the Brewers. It's Packers by millions of miles, and then I think the Brewers are kind of on their own tier below, and you could probably stick Wisconsin sports, Marquette, and the Bucks kind of in the same tier.
I don't know. Badger football's very large.
It is, extremely.
I feel like Brewers is a little bit bigger.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
There's so many of the previous generation where baseball was all... Mm-hmm. they cared about really at a certain point that I think that still exists. Now in 10 years, 15 years, could that change and the Bucks surpass? Wouldn't be shocked. But right now I just think they're, I mean, my grandfather calls me about Brewers games like every once a week about
every once in a while I get a text from Josh like, oh man, what are they doing? Don't they realize the conversation that this is going to lead to?
I'm
going
to have to pay for this.
So if you were to rank it right now with the Packers having the Super Bowl wins, they've had the Bucks won 4 years ago. How would you rank it? With Wisconsin football in there, too. Do you think Packers would still be number one?
Yes.
Still number one.
Mm-hmm.
Gap?
Yes.
A big gap.
Yeah. Two.
Two would be Brewers. Three would be Badgers. Four would be Bucks.
Okay. I agree.
And I think there's a gap between Brewers and Badger football. But it also depends on part of the state.
Yeah, that's very true.
Yes. Because in Madison, there's probably not much bigger than the Badgers.
Yeah, but outside of, you know, Marquette, everyone goes to a Wisconsin school.
A lot
they
of people,
have a connection.
Sure.
I mean, look at all the satellite schools that...
I went to Platteville, but I don't feel like I've got a connection to Badger football.
Yeah, but you love it. You love it when they're good. You're like me.
When they're good, yeah, I'll pay attention. Yeah. Like, but so I'll say this. Like, I don't... The thing I miss most about being in Madison, and I was in Madison for 5 years, is Badger football game day. Like, I think there's nothing like it. Even Packers game day... doesn't match because there's just something about college football. There's a little more pageantry.
Yeah.
And it's a little less corporate, even though it's getting more and more corporate.
I'll give you an example.
But just like walking down Regent Street on your way to the stadium, there's just a buzz and an energy that's hard to
replicate. My oldest Dylan was up at a party with his friend who's a coach, I forget where. And Paul Christ was there and Greg Gard was there. Everyone was wearing red. This was kind of like Eagle River-ish. And he was talking to a handful of people. They didn't know who Nick Saban was. They knew who Paul Christ was. They had Nick Saban. Who's he coach for? No idea. So it would be huge if the Badgers won
100%.
A national championship in this state.
Undeniably so.
Yeah.
Especially because you would get swept up in it. Like I think of when they were 11-0 going into that Big Ten championship game against Ohio State.
Yeah.
Like there was palpable buzz. Like, and it builds as the season goes along.
Yeah.
We'll talk about one of those teams that Chewy believes is one of the best run in the state, the Brewers, with Sophia Minert as she joins us coming up next.
From the latest happenings on the diamond,
they've obviously taken their hits at times, but I think Freddie Peralta has been so steady. Colin Ray, same thing.
To all the insight and expertise on things outside the ballpark.
And he does it so unorthodox. Like, he'll change his batting stance, like within an at bat or at bat to at bat. Like, it's insane. Like, it defies kind of everything that you hear from players.
We only turn to one person. Batter up. It's Sophia Minert on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Brought to you by Century Foods. Win the ultimate baseball fan experience at Century Foods. Return the entry form found in the weekly ad to any Century by July 24th. Century Foods, the best meat in town. Also brought to you by Two Men in a Junk Truck. From unwanted furniture to full-service residential and commercial cleanouts, go to twomeninajunktruck.com to book your free, no-obligation, same-day estimate.
Always excited to talk to Sophia Minert as she joins us Wednesdays here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Good morning, Sophia. I hope we're not waking you up like we did last week.
I'm up. We're good. We're back from the West Coast. So, yeah, we're back to normal.
How is that for you, like, personally, with all the travel that you have to do when you're coming back from the West Coast? How long does it take your, like, body to reacclimate?
You know, honestly, I feel like within a day, pretty much.
Okay.
So, and it did help that, you know, we got back late Sunday night. The team had Monday off, back to work yesterday. So, you know, I think everybody got sort of a day to sleep in and adjust, and hopefully everyone's kind of back to normal now.
How many times per year do you wake up and go, wait, what city am I in?
So I generally have a pretty good idea of where I am, fortunately. I will say the one that gets me is, and this actually did happen to me on the last trip, is forgetting the room number or like the floor when you're on like multiple city trips, especially the three city trips. You kind of, you're like, wait, am I on the fourth floor or was that the last hotel? And so actually we had a funny conversation about that of, you know, the tricks that you have to do to remember basic information like that.
Sophia, earlier in the show, I apologized to Mark Antanasio. And the reason I apologized is I was much too critical of him after the Craig Council going to Chicago. I had no faith in the organization, so I was very critical. Do you think I'm alone? I mean, I had no idea. And me and Gabe were talking like, this is not, when you're 93 games in, this isn't a fluke. It's a fluke when it's 24 games in or 33 games in. This is a hell of a baseball team, and I don't think I'm alone with an apology to him because he must have knew what the heck was going on, and a lot of us didn't.
Yeah, I think, you know, I think that's an interesting point of, look, it was a tumultuous offseason. I don't think any Brewer fan would disagree with that, with Craig departing and, you know, it was still a relatively new transition with Matt Arnold taking over from David Stearns. And then they had some really difficult decisions to make with, you know, remember they had a non-tender, Brandon Woodruff, and eventually signed him back at spring training and then the trade with Corbin Burns in February. So I think, you know, and we knew that there were going to be a lot of big, heavy decisions that were going to change the organization moving forward. So, yeah, I think there were a lot of fans that shared your feelings, whether it was they were angry or sad or confused or disappointed or just not sure, right? When you lose such front-facing and like really anchors of what had been Brewers baseball for the past, you know, for Craig for 9 years and then for some of those other guys the last 6 years. So yeah, I think, you know, there were tons of questions around this team going into spring training. And I agree with you. I think this first half, like, they have dealt with a ton of adversity. I think Murph deserves a lot of credit for how he has, you know, instilled his kind of own personality and his own mantras and his own beliefs and just kind of how he's managed this and really freed like players to be themselves. And he's got a great staff that supports him. So, yeah, I mean, this is who they are, right? Like you said, like we're now more than halfway through. And when the team comes back from the All-Star break, there will only be 65 games left. So I think they've done a great job of setting themselves up for hopefully a really fun second half.
How do players deal with all-star snubs, Sophia? Because it's great that Contreras and Yelich and Brewers fans, you know, it seems like we always show up for the all-star voting. I just think of all the guys, like the final last vote that we've gotten in through the years. But when somebody like Terang or McGill don't get in, how do players deal with that internally?
Yeah, I think they're human, right? I think you can be disappointed and bummed out. I think they also understand there's just a lot of layers to it of, you know, the fan voting and how that can be determined by market size. And some of it just turns into a popularity contest. And, you know, there's that part of it. And then, you know, most recently with the reserves being announced, that comes from, you know, the player vote. We know that replacements happen over the next couple days before they head to the All-Star game. So I'm still hoping, you know, some of those guys can sneak in. But I think, you know, it's especially the player vote. I think it does mean a lot to be voted in by your peers and by the rest of the league. I think that that does mean a lot to players. So, yeah, I think, you know, they say the right things. I think for guys like Bryce Terang, you hope he gets other opportunities. And, you know, you just kind of build him up. And look, Bryce Terang has had an incredible first half. He is a totally different player than what we saw from him in his rookie season. Same with Trevor McGill. The opportunity that he's just taken a hold of with Seven Williams on the IL, I think you could even add Brian Hudson to that list. You know, he had a tough road trip, but I don't know where this bullpen would be without Brian Hudson. So there's a ton of guys that are deserving. Unfortunately, there's only so many roster spots. And again, things can change here over the next couple of days, but we'll see if they get anyone else.
Sophia, how big of a concern is St. Louis? I see the lead is down to 4. I know there's a lot of baseball left, but are they looking in the rearview mirror at all? Or are they just kind of plugging along at this juncture in the season?
Yeah, I think St. Louis, they've really turned things around. I think now going back to, they had a really good month of June. I think like at the end of May, they really started to turn things around. So yeah, I mean, the lead has shrunk a little bit, but I think you knew that, you know, the Cardinals were going to get themselves back in it the way that they had a really rough start to their season. They didn't look like themselves, you know, especially like Paul Goldschmidt, Nolan Arenado, they weren't hitting and performing at the level that they typically do. So, you know, I think right now everyone is just in the mode of like, keep your head down and stay in your own lane. I don't think they see the Cardinals until maybe August. I think they've got one more series or maybe two more series with St. Louis. So I think, yeah, right now it's just keep your head down, stay in your own lane, try to rack up more series wins, try to, you know, continue to add to your lead. Everyone kind of knows what the standings are, but you can't really get too bent out of shape. And fortunately, they're in a pretty good spot of they could take the season series tiebreaker the next time they play St. Louis.
Sophia, is the byproduct of having so many teams get into the postseason, and while that's exciting for a lot of fan bases that they're still alive, does that make for a duller trade deadline? Because I think it's harder to be aggressive when you look across the landscape. Mm-hmm. There are only 2 teams in the National League, for example, that are more than 5.5 games out of a playoff spot currently. So it's hard to know who's buying and who's selling.
Yes, and I think when it comes to the trade deadline, like anything, like deadlines create urgency, right? So, you know, right now it's like, first of all, I think the front offices, there is a lot of conversation around the trade deadline right now, but they're also very deep in the weeds in preparing for the draft, which is starting Sunday night. And that runs through Wednesday. So they've got 20 rounds of the draft to prepare for. The Brewers have 4 picks on that first day on Sunday. So this is July, just like a really crazy time for front offices in terms of you're trying to manage your current team, your minor league affiliates, prepare for the draft, and then you come up for air for maybe 5 minutes and then you go right back into your trade deadline conversation. So, I think I like the expanded playoff format, but I think it does create really interesting decisions for teams of how much do you want to give up or buy or sell if you're in a wild card position, right? It's maybe a different conversation if you're trying to win a division like the Brewers are, instead of trying to sneak in as maybe that sixth wild card spot. I think it creates, you know, interesting conversations. It definitely makes the division races and the postseason standings more interesting when you've got more teams involved. But I think, yeah, it creates different margins for organizations in terms of making those deadline acquisitions.
Sophia, what do the players do with the All-Star break? Do they go to their off-season home? Do they go on a mini vacation? Do they stick around? Holmgren, when I played, had one rule during the bye week is if you're injured, you can't go anywhere. You got to stick around and get treatment. Most players take off?
Yeah. I would say it's we don't have Holmgren rules that I'm aware of. Under
Pat's a little more loose than Mike would have been.
Yeah, we don't have the Holmgren rules. And look, it also helps that the minor league affiliates have the same All-Star break as the major league teams. So, it to your point about injuries, which the Brewers obviously have a ton of. There's not going to be any rehab assignments or anything like that happening over the All-Star break. So everyone gets a couple days, and the Brewers actually coming out of the break, they're off on Friday. They don't open the second half until Saturday against the Twins. So they get an extra day, which is great for everybody. But yeah, most guys, they go to their off-season homes. Some of them stick around here locally. So if you're around, you might see some Brewers like in the Wisconsin Dells or up at Kohler, maybe Door County. Sometimes they'll ask for suggestions of, you know, where to go around here locally. Obviously there'll be kind of optional team workouts as they're coming back from the break, probably at the end of the week before they head out to start the second half. So yeah, everyone kind of does their own thing. Get some time away with their families and their kids and hopefully regroup a little bit mentally and physically and get ready for the last haul.
Are you doing anything for the All-Star break to kind of get away from it all?
I am actually. I'm going to Jackson, Wyoming with a friend.
Wow.
And I've never been there.
Beautiful.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Have you been?
I've been skiing
really?
At Jackson
okay.
Hole. Yeah, you'll love it. It is refreshing.
Okay. Have you been there in the summer?
I have not.
Okay. All right. So yeah, obviously we won't be skiing, but I've heard it's beautiful. I've heard it's a great town, and so I've never been there, so I'm looking forward to going.
There's a great restaurant at Jackson Hole. It's still open where the gondola goes, probably halfway or three quarters away up the mountain, and you can see everything. So if you got
really?
Time, that's really worth going to. It's beautiful.
Okay. Great. See, this is Chewy. Just the Wyoming tour guide. I love this.
Yeah, the amount of knowledge that I want Chewy to have versus the knowledge that he actually has, Sophia, kind of varies. It ends up working out for you in this situation today, though, which is nice.
A lot of it's worthless.
That's what I'm saying.
No, this is valuable.
Yeah. Sophia, I always
like a good recommendation.
Oh, Chewy's got plenty. Restaurants?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I think you could say just about any city in America right now, and Chewy's got a restaurant recommendation within a half hour.
This is a good one.
So,
see, this is real life. This is real life knowledge. This is what people want.
He's giving the people what they want. Sophia, we certainly appreciate the time. We appreciate the knowledge. Enjoy the All-Star break next week.
Thank you. Thanks, guys. We'll talk to you next time.
Sophia Minert joins us every Wednesday here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. We'll see what we put on the polls as the show wraps up coming up next. But first, I do want to tell you about our friends at the Jewelry Center, because, of course, there's only one place to go if you're looking for that diamond engagement ring for a special someone. Of course, it's only at the Jewelry Center. It's where I went. Didn't know what my now wife was looking for. And the team at the Jewelry Center really helped me out. Maybe if you're a little more prepared than me, maybe she has a Pinterest page, you can go check that out, bring those images in, and the Jewelry Center always going to point you in the right direction. And of course, they've got great options, whether we're talking about naturally mined diamonds, lab-grown diamonds, whatever you're in the market for, when it comes to an engagement ring, the Jewelry Center has it. Check out their inventory at any one of their three locations, Greenfield, Brookfield, or in Burlington, or shop online at shoptjc.com.
You were listening to Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Yes, that would have been much worse ended up happening.
Finally got the which would be worse and what would be better. Finally yes. We figured it out.
You can't just be showing your junk on national TV.
It would have got a lot of clicks.
On 94.5 ESPN. Here we go.
It doesn't matter what age you are. Low testosterone can be an issue for any guy. That's where Mentality comes in. Local healthcare facility specifically dedicated to helping men feel and perform at their very best. They've certainly helped me. Look, I've got a busy schedule. I've got a schedule where I'm on all different times, and I've got the energy to do it now thanks to Mentality. Used to think that, okay, I'm a little tired, slowing down a little bit, just the way it is. But it doesn't have to be that way with Mentality. If your testosterone levels are low, if you're tired, groggy, just don't feel like yourself. Don't have that edge that you had maybe a year or two ago. Those could be signs of low testosterone. And once you go through the process at Mentality, and if you find out it is low testosterone, they can help you. It's a customized testosterone treatment plan just for you because they want to make sure your levels are where they need to be. So find out more. Go to their website, lowtusa.com. Mentality allows treatment to fit into every guy's lifestyle. Find out more about Mentality and their low testosterone treatments. lowtusa.com. Few questions that we threw up on the Twitter polls today, at Jen Gabe Chewy on Twitter. Are you in or out on the hello kiss on the cheek? 91.6% are out.
Wow. The people have spoken.
Yeah. So let whoever in your life needs to know that. It's...
I don't think he's going to do that.
Why do you think I did it on the radio? It'll get back to her.
You know, I respect that you still do it, even though you know it's going to get back to her. Absolutely love it.
I don't want the blamer to go through probation alone. I might as well be put on my own.
See, that's a true friend. That's a true friend, going on probation because your buddy is. Have we overrated the Packers' skill position players on offense? Because the Packers are ranked 17th skill position-wise by Bill Barnwell today over at ESPN.com. 68% of people saying no, they're underrated. Underrated right now.
Maybe a little.
I don't know, because the problem is, like, when you, especially when you compare it to the rest of the division, they have established stars on their rosters.
Yeah.
The Packers do not have anybody established. Like, as they continue this over at ESPN.com, and it's a different, you know, way of aggregating this, where they've got the top 10 lists. Today it was top 10 pass rushers. When they get to wide receivers, tight ends, they already did running backs. The Packers have Josh Jacobs on that list, and that's going to be it.
Yeah.
It's not like Christian Watson's going to be looked at as a top 10 wide receiver.
Nope.
Amon-Ra St. Brown is. Justin Jefferson will be. Laporta, Hockenson are going to be looked at as top tight ends. You're not going to see Musgrave on that list.
That made us think, which is good.
Yeah.
Which is a good thing.
And over the past 10 years, which Wisconsin sports team has been the best? Green Bay Packers, 43.6%.
Who are the Brewers?
Last 24%.
Ah, that's not right. Think, people. Think. Think, think, think.
Well, just the people love the Packers.
I know they love, never... but it's fine to love the Packers, but look at it objectively.
Well, see, that's the thing. Like, they're willing to criticize the Packers at times.
Yeah.
But we're more critical of the Bucks and Brewers than we are the Packers.
Oh, much more.
Like, just as a general fan base.
Sure. Yeah.
Wilde and Tausch coming your way next. 94.5 ESPN.